Good evening, ladies. Well, I have to tell you, you've all been prayed for, okay? And the spiritual warfare here has been high. But we're anticipating great things that the Lord's going to do tonight. So far, is everything, have you enjoyed your meal? Yes, I see. And the music, even though... Praise the Lord. Okay. First of all, I want to pray again. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day and this time. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and just sit in fellowship with you and with one another. I pray now, Lord, that we, as we get into your word, Lord, that you would just minister to our hearts and exalt yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to talk about tonight is in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and it's the visit of the wise men. And I want to read the scripture first. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Father, once again, we just pray that you would bless your word in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible is filled with many examples of wisdom and wise people who were seeking God. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear or reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." You know, there was Enoch. He walked with God and was not because God took him. Noah was wise enough to walk with God and obey him. Then there was Ruth. She was wise enough to say to her Jewish mother-in-law, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God." While her sister turned back around and went to her people. Then there was Mary, Martha's sister, who was wise enough to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his words. And of course, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. And then there were the wise men who came looking for Jesus. And that's whom I want to talk to you about tonight. You see, the definition of seek is to go in search of, to look for, to seek out that person, to try and discover, to seek the truth. Well, that person is Jesus, and he is the truth. You know, a lot of people know that the wise men who are connected with the birth of Jesus, and most manger scenes at Christmas time have the wise men positioned somewhere near the manger worshiping the baby Jesus. In fact, we have one out in the hallway where they are kneeling down with the infant, all right? But the wise men were not at the birth of Christ. They came after he was born, all right? Perhaps as long as 2 years later. These wise men were magi. They were a group of scholars who studied the stars. They were looking for a sign. We don't know for sure where these men came from. We are simply told that they came from the east. Some Bible scholars believe that they came from the area around ancient Babylon. If they were from that region, they would have had access to the Jewish scriptures because the Jews had been taken to Babylon earlier as slaves, and Daniel was one of them. When they realized that the Messiah had come, they had a desire to go and meet him. They stepped out in faith to find him. Jesus was that long-awaited hope for the people. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And that's exactly what these guys did. You know, keep in mind that these men were Gentiles, yet they were seeking the king. The announcement first came to the shepherds, who were Jews, and we can find that in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, and now the magi, who are Gentiles. Romans 1:16 says, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first," there's the shepherds, "and for also the Greek," or the Gentile, there's your magi. We don't know, though, also exactly how many magi there were, but because of the three gifts that are mentioned in verse 11, some have assumed that there were three men, but this isn't certain, and the reason this is because of distance and thieves on the road. There's a possibility that there were a lot more than just three of them. They would usually travel in large companies. And also, too, verse 3 in the chapter 2 says that there were enough of them to trouble everyone in Jerusalem. So, and also, too, the only mode of travel was to walk or ride on a certain type of animal. And also think about this. The fact that their gifts were very expensive, I wouldn't want to ride or walk with only a small group, would you? If you had something that was very precious and very valuable, would you only want to go with about three of you? There's safety in numbers. The wise men came a long way. They came through deserts, over mountains. They faced thieves. All for the sake of finding Jesus. They thought that what they would find would be worth it. They went the distance. Am I? Are you willing to go the distance wherever it might lead? The Magi said they came to seek the king, but I wonder who was seeking whom? They were following a very bright star, his star. Some have said that it was a supernova, and some have said that maybe it was the Shekinah glory of God. You know, stars naturally travel from east to west across the heavens, not north to south. This was a super miracle from God. He wanted them to find him. Another little tidbit to think about, too. Did the wise men only travel at night like the Israelites? Who, when God guided them, he did it with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And in Luke 19:10, he said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, they also sought guidance and they persevered. They said they had seen his star and had come to worship them, so they went to Herod, the king at the time, who was an Edomite. He had bought his way into power by the Roman government, and he was very disturbed by what he had heard because he was king, and in his mind, no one else could be in that position while he was alive. Herod had three of his sons and a wife killed out of fear for losing his kingdom, and no one was exempt from his wrath. He felt that if he felt that he was threatened in any way, your life could be in danger. And now in his mind, all that he had built was at stake. He in turn, though, he called the chief priests and scribes about the king of the Jews. Finding out that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem, as was prophesied by the Old Testament prophet Micah, as we read in the scripture. It is interesting that the chief priests and scribes also knew that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Yet later, when Jesus started his ministry, they wouldn't follow him or believe that he was the Messiah. They knew the scriptures, but they wouldn't obey. Then King Herod calls the wise men to a private meeting concerning this king, and he tells them to search carefully for this young child and bring back word to him so he can worship him too. But of course, this wasn't true. Later in the scriptures, we see that he had the male children, two and under, murdered. So then the wise men heard the king and they departed. You know what? They stayed the course, and they were determined. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And after the wise men's interaction with Herod, Matthew makes it a point to tell us that the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. The star continued to lead them. This is the second time that the star appeared to guide them. They didn't have to go house to house asking about Jesus. And because of this, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. It was a heartfelt mega joy. I have to tell you, I looked up the words, rejoiced, exceedingly great, and joy. Okay, I looked them up. And this is what it said, so I'm not quite sure how it works out. Because it said, rejoiced was to be cheerful, calmly happy or well off. Exceedingly, in a very high degree. Great, mega, joy, cheerfulness, calm delight. I mean, I wasn't exactly sure. I think they were, maybe, it wasn't that they were smug, okay, but I think they were going, yeah. You know why? Because the star continued to lead them. It was spot on. They knew they were heading in the right direction, and they were excited. They were going to get to see God face to face, and they were excited about it. They found what they were looking for. They found him and his mother, and they worshiped him. They prostrated themselves before him and gave him gifts. And the word worship means to kiss the hand. It's to go forward towards someone in a token of reverence. Also, too, the meaning is, for all you dog lovers, it means to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. That's how dogs show their love. That's one way. Among the Orientals, especially the Persians, to fall upon the knees and touch the ground with the forehead was an expression of profound reverence. This was a total act of submission and honor. So, what does this all mean? Let's look at the wise men and Herod. The wise men, their knowledge drove them to action and to worship. Okay? They were men of faith. All they had was the star, and they were willing to follow it. You know, in Hebrews 11:8, it says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." Abraham had God's word and was willing to go. Are you willing to step out in faith? You know, we have GPS in our cars, and they're always telling us where to go, right? But they're not so reliable. I mean, I put my GPS on and ended up in places where I didn't want to be, or they took you the long way around. Well, These guys were willing to follow that star because it was based on a truth. They were willing to go the distance. They sought the Lord at a great cost. It was a long journey, but they went. And the Lord was leading them and guiding them. Remember, the star reappeared after they left Herod. God never left them, not for one moment. And he made sure that they got to their destination. Does God have you on a journey? Are you willing to go the distance and trust him for the outcome? You know, I've been on this journey for 42 years, and he's been faithful to me every step of the way, and I'm trusting that he's going to get me to my destination. And if you trust him, he'll get you to yours too. And that destination is heaven. Because Hebrews 13:5 says, he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Next, we see that they persevered in their search in following the star. They were not discouraged by Herod or the religious leaders who, by the way, knew the scriptures but did not act on them. Jerusalem was only 5 miles away from Bethlehem. How many times do we know what we're supposed to do, but we don't? Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And they were worshipers. They gave the Lord precious gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all three gifts that honor the Christ child as king, and they submitted themselves to him. Psalm 116, 12 and 13 says, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Herod, on the other hand, he wasn't wise. He was told the truth of the scriptures, the word of the prophet Micah, but he rejected it instead of accepting it. In 2 Peter 1, 19 and 20, it says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. His knowledge drove him to fear and destruction. He was fearful he was going to lose his kingdom, and it brought destruction in his life and others as well. Again, not only did he kill his wife and three sons, he had the male children, two and under, killed. Are you afraid? Of what? What are you fearful of losing? You know, Matthew 6:19 and 20 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. You know, about 3 years ago, and some of you remember this, that our storage unit was broken into, and it was in a very secure place. It had gates on both sides. You had to put in a code and you get in, and then you had to put a code to get out. Yet our stuff was taken. Don't lay up treasures down here. They don't last. Lay up treasures in heaven. And you don't need to be fearful either. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. You know, Herod, he could have been fine if he just would have trusted in the Lord. But he was so introverted and so self-focused that he missed it. You know what, though? The wise men were not wise because they were students of the stars or scholars, but because they were seeking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when they found them, Their natural response was to worship him. Why? Because God has created us for that purpose. Sin separated us in the beginning, and that's why he reaches out with the sign to say, come. Whatever that sign may be. You know, for everyone, it's different. For me, it was in a small Baptist church listening to a Russian evangelist present the gospel message and me being very young, going forward and asking Christ to come into my heart. For my husband, it was receiving Christ in front of a liquor store while he was stoned on his head out of LSD. The Lord gave him a sign by speaking to his heart and telling him that he needed him in his life to overcome his addictions and way of life, and he responded yes. And when he opened his eyes, he was stone cold sober. Now remember, he didn't smell that way, but he really was. And he still works that way today. God still speaks to hearts, and we have a choice to make, to say yes to him. You know, some people are at the beginning of their journey, at the beginning of the Magi's journey, they had to say yes to the star. We're going to follow the star, and they followed it all the way to the end. And when they got there, they worshiped Jesus. We start out on our journey, we say yes, and it leads us into a deeper, more meaningful relationship with God. They also brought gifts. Some believe the gifts had further significance by reflecting on the character of his life. Gold might speak of his deity or purity, incense, the fragrance of his life, and myrrh, his sacrifice and death, because myrrh was used for embalming. We too have gifts that we can bring, but the most precious gift that we can give to him is our heart. Another thing that Matthew said in verse 12 is that the Lord appeared to them in a dream and spoke to them, and they went another way. After their encounter with Jesus, they listened to God and obeyed. Have you ever met someone that made an impact on your life? The wise men did, and they went away changed forever. Oswald Chambers said, "When once you have seen Jesus, you can never be the same." You need to understand something. God's not hiding. He wants to have a relationship with us. John 12:46, Jesus speaking, says, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." And 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." God went to great lengths to make himself known to the wise men, and he's still doing it today. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. God is the master craftsman. What about you? What about me? Are you wise? Whom or what are you seeking? You know, sometimes we can be seeking the good things, but we miss out on the best things. C.H. Spurgeon said, "Those who look for Jesus will see him. Those who truly see him will worship him. Those who worship him will consecrate or separate themselves to him." Now, just as the wise men opened their treasure chests and worshiped Jesus, may we open our hearts, draw closer to him, and worship him today. You know, maybe you're here tonight and you're wondering what this is all about. You've been searching and you can't quite find that something that will satisfy. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is that something, or should I say that someone, that will give you everything and quench every need that you will ever have. And I'd like to give you that opportunity to receive him. You know, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. First, you have to admit honestly to God that you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death or everlasting punishment." There's no sin allowed in heaven. And then you need to believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. His blood was shed to pay for your sins. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Because Jesus loves you so much, he took the punishment for you so that you could be forgiven. And then you need to confess that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. You need to trust Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. You need to choose everlasting life. And I'd like us to pray right now. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this time. I thank you, Lord, that I know that you're speaking to people tonight. And I ask, Lord, that you would have your way with us. And I'm wondering right now why, while all of our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm wondering if there's anyone here that would like to receive Christ. Anyone? And if that's you, please don't be afraid. You're among friends. I'd like you to raise your hand so that I can pray with you. Is there anyone that would like to receive Christ tonight into their heart as their personal Lord and Savior? Okay. Perhaps you're here, though, and you followed the star to the end, and you have received the free gift that Christ offered, but you've gotten a bit off course, and you need to refocus on the things that are really important. You just need to recommit your life to him. All you have to do is come. He's waiting. It's easy. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." Ephesians 2:10, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And 1 John 1:9 says it all. It's the Christian's bar of soap. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Recommitment is just a prayer away. All you have to do is pray. Also, too, this Christmas, remember, wise men and women still seek him every day. They find him. They fall down before him. They worship him. And they are changed forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you that you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins. Started out as an infant and went the course all the way to the cross. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the rest of our time and that you would minister to all who have come and meet them right where they're at. In Jesus' name, amen.